Well, New Zealand is fast becoming one of the last Western democracies to recognise Palestine as a state after Australia announced yesterday it would. Canada, the UK, France and 147 other countries have made similar declarations as the world responds to the ongoing destruction and famine in Gaza. Prime Minister Christopher Luxon is calling the situation a humanitarian catastrophe but says statehood is a complex issue the Cabinet has to agree on. Former Prime Minister Helen Clark joins us now from Egypt. Good morning.
Good morning, Colin.
What do you make of New Zealand's decision here to, I guess, delay it for another month? It's going to happen, but they're still working it through. Does it matter that we're a bit behind the others?
I think it's unfortunate that we're behind. In the end, I think the right thing will probably be done. But it would have been nice to be among the earlier movers over the past few weeks rather than be seen to be at the back of the crowd.
Why so?
Because the recognition of a Palestinian state right now is a very strong statement of wanting that two-state solution to proceed. The current Israeli government, the current Israeli Prime Minister, has done everything in his power to undermine that for years. The catastrophe in Gaza, which the elders, of which I'm a member, is now calling an unfolding genocide, has totally changed world opinion about this. And the view is now that we have to make all efforts to stop the war, get a process going, get the two-state solution, and recognizing now gives that momentum.
What do you say to those who argue that this, and this is certainly the position of the US, that it rewards Hamas by recognising Palestine, the state?
I think those are just pathetically empty words, to be frank. Look, today in Egypt, I've been up to the Rafah border where the crossing where people have come out for medical evacuations and so on in the past is completely closed. I've seen victims of the war in the hospital in a nearby town. I've seen the trucks turned around carrying food and medicines which were unable to enter Gaza from Egypt because they're blocked by the Israeli Defence Force. This is a catastrophic situation. And here we are in New Zealand somehow arguing some fine point about whether we should recognise. We need to be adding our voice to the need for this catastrophe to stop. When you see an unfolding genocide, you have a responsibility to act. And there's a number of actions which New Zealand and others could be taking.
What role do you believe the relationship with the United States is having on this? Just looking at some of the commentary coming out of the Australian media following the decision yesterday by Anthony Albanese, some are arguing that it amounts to a little bit of a breaking with the US by doing this, potentially upsetting the US. Is that a factor, do you think, in New Zealand's consideration?
I think it's been a huge factor. And this is what is so disappointing, because there's been a radical realignment of New Zealand foreign policy going on. To have New Zealand cuddling right back up again to Washington, D.C., and overly, you know, sensitive to everything it thinks, and that governing New Zealand's position. This is not, you know, the New Zealand I've known for the last, you know, 40 years or so, where we made up our own mind, we stood on principle. We're now seen to really stand for nothing except somehow wanting to, you know, save our own skin in a tariff war. I think it's really quite a humiliating position for New Zealand to be in.
So as more and more of these countries do recognise Palestine, in the end, it could be vetoed, presumably, by the US, any attempt to actually formally recognise this. So what is the overall, other than, putting pressure on, do you see this as actually making any concrete steps towards such a state?
Oh, yes, I do. And I think that we're in a situation where President Trump likes to be seen to be resolving conflicts. He's had the leaders of Armenia and Azerbaijan in the White House in recent days signing a peace agreement. He intervened on the Rwanda Democratic Republic of Congo conflict. He's focused this week on the meeting with President Putin on Ukraine. Now, at some point, as the pressure grows, particularly from the major G7 countries, but backed by many others, for action on Palestine, We have to hope that there's a chance that he will turn his attention back on this and say, enough, because the United States does have the power to stop this conflict. It was estimated in a study by Brown University in the US that the US has probably funded about 70% of the war. It can stop it. And I think the overwhelming chorus coming from across the world, across regions, across kinds of countries, that this has to stop. We have to move on. We have to go to the two-state solution. That's the kind of pressure and momentum that we in New Zealand need to be part of building.
Do we also need to stress that Hamas can have no role in that two-state solution?
Well, you know, a state in the end is going to make its own decisions about, you know, who its rulers are. But it seems, you know, most unlikely that Hamas would play any role in the governance of Gaza. You have quite an elaborate set of plans, particularly coming out of Egypt and the Arab states, about what post-war governance could look like. I met with the Egyptian foreign minister yesterday as part of our elders delegation here. You know, you're looking at this prospect, if we can get a ceasefire and get agreement on moving forward, that there will be a technocratic administration of the Palestinian Authority. The Palestinian Authority would move to elections. There may be an international stabilization force go in at the request of the Palestinian Authority. There's elaborate plans which don't include Hamas. So I think it's all a bit of a red herring now to be talking about Hamas. There are credible plans for moving forward.
Thank you very much for your time, Helen Clark, former Prime Minister, who's joining us from Egypt this morning.